Remember it by chance?
Devote yourselves to what?
Jesus.
To Jesus, yes, yes. Devote yourselves to Jesus. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay what in it?
Alert.
Alert in it with what?
Thanksgiving,
that's right. So the first week was personal prayer. And for week two, this final week, it is wise witnessing. You guys can see that on your papers, wise witnessing. And we're going to continue to read out of Colossians chapter 4. So let's go ahead and jump right in, Colossians 4. And we're going to start with verse 3. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version. Verse 3 says this. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So we're going to go through two parts of the message today. And the first part is Paul's prayer. You can see that on your papers. Paul's prayer. And the first word is who. You can see that, who. And we're talking about who is Paul asking for prayer for. Well, let's look back. Verse 3. It says, at the same time, pray also for us. Who is us? You can write down on your papers, Paul is asking for prayer for himself and his fellow ministers. For himself and his fellow ministers. And we see why on your papers. Why does Paul ask for prayer for him and his fellow ministers? Well, we all need it, right? But he said, let's read verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us, Paul and his fellow ministers, that God may open a door to us for the word. So for why, you can put down that God may open a door. And so why would God want to open a door? Open a door for what? Why is he asking to open a door for what? Let's continue to read on. Verse 3, on your papers, you'll see this, that at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. So the mystery of Christ, you can see that for what? You can put down the declare the mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery of Christ is truly just the gospel. The gospel message is the mystery of Christ. And if you want to know a quick little way to share the gospel, there's many ways where I'm sure you guys know how to share the gospel, whether that's in the three circles method, maybe that's the bridge method, maybe that's just through child evangelism methods. But here's another method as well. You can start off with sharing the gospel with the three T's. The first T is trouble. We live in a troubled world. We face tribulation. We all are in trouble because of our sin nature and because of Adam and Eve. Now, we unfortunately, sin has entered the world and we are all facing trouble. That is the first T. But the second T is turn. The second T is turn. Thank you. And we can turn and acknowledge to God that we need to turn away from our sin. And then the third T is trust. Trust in Christ. Turn from our sin, but trust in Christ. So trouble, because sin's what separates us from God. But Christ is what connects us to the Lord. And if Christ connects us to God, we first are facing trouble, but then we can turn from our sin and then trust. That's just a quick, simple way to share the gospel. But there's other ways, and we'll kind of go more into that. But remember, the mystery of Christ is simply just the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So back to Paul's prayer, it says, for who? We saw that Paul asked prayer for him and his fellow ministers. For why? So that God may open a door. For what? To open the door, declare the mystery of Christ. Now let's look at where. On your papers, you'll see where. And let's read this verse again. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on which I am in prison. So guys, I think what's so interesting is that Paul, for one, he's not asking for prayer to be released from his chains. Paul is asking for prayer for the good news to be shared. Paul is caring more about the good news of Christ rather than his own situation. How easy is it for us to just pray, God, let your will be done over our own? That is definitely not easy. But Paul is showing us a great example of where his priority is. His priority is to get the good news out. It's not to get out of prison. He's wanting to get the good news out in prison, to share the good news and to declare it. And we'll see how he wants to declare it. But guys, out of all people asking for prayer, Paul is asking for prayer. Paul is one of the apostles who is well known for so many great miraculous things that he wrote about, that he's done. And for Paul to ask for prayer, a gifted apostle to ask for prayer, it shows how humble Paul is. Paul is needing prayer to be able to share the gospel clearly in prison. He's not even worried about himself. He's worried about others hearing the good news. What an example. What an example for Paul, for us to try to live out. And so we see Paul's in prison. He's in chains. And for him to pray for the gospel to be declared just shows how committed he is to the gospel, how committed he is to the Lord, how committed he is, not to his chains, but how committed he is to being a light for Christ. And guys, I hope that as we go about our day today, that we don't come across as we're going to pray those selfish prayers like we kind of talked about last week, of just need, we need this and we need that. We can remember, we can pray that God is worthy. You're going to say, God is worthy.
God is worthy.
And we are needy.
We are needy.
So we're putting God first. God is worthy. And remembering to give him praise and honor and glory, not for what he's just done, but for who he is. And then we are also needing to humble ourselves and say, God, we need your help. And that's just a simple way of praying. But guys, also too, for Paul to ask this, he's asking for prayer to be able to share the good news. And just like Paul, we need to rely on God in prayer. We need to rely on God in prayer to open a door for us. I know there's been times where I've tried to share the good news without relying on God and just relying on my own experiences or even relying on just my own testimony. And that is good, but if I'm just doing it alone and out of vain and not in the right spirit, not in the spirit of asking God for help, I'm probably not going to get anywhere with that. And even if we ask God for help, we're still remembering that we can just plant seeds of the gospel. Regardless of the way that we're going to be able to share the gospel, if we can plant seeds of hope, but asking God for help, and asking God to open a door for us, God will open a door. God will open a door for us, but we need to listen and we need to look for the door to be open. So as we continue on, we see on the papers, you'll see that the last word is how. A part of Paul's prayer, we see on our papers how. How does Paul want the mystery of Christ to be presented as? Well, let's read verse 4. We read verse 3, but now let's read verse 4. It says, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And so for how, we can put down to make it clear. Paul wants the gospel to be spoken clear for others, and in the same way, we should share the gospel with clarity. Not confusion, but with clarity. And if we can preach clarity, preach the gospel in clearness, that is not only going to help our witness, but that's going to help others to understand. And if we are truly not just coming to huddle just to listen to a message, but coming to huddle and then actually walking out in the play that is set before us, and we're asking God for help, He will open a door for us. Truly, He'll open a door for us to share the good news with somebody. And so we went through the first part of the message, which is Paul's prayer. Now let's look at the second part, which is the title. It's Wise Witnessing. Here's the second part of the message. Wise Witnessing. Now let's read verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Now walk, it just means to live in wisdom. Well, how do we live in wisdom? Well, James chapter 1 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, which I'm sure is all of us, in some capacity, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So on your papers, you can write down, walk in wisdom. We're meant to walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Making the best use of what? What does it say on our papers? Making the best use of what? Time. You can jot down that on your papers after make the best use of time. Now, what does that mean to make the best use of time? Well, I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I always visited my grandpa every Wednesday. And my grandpa always made it clear that he wanted to spend time with myself and my brother. And regardless of what my brother and I were out in the backyard playing football or out in the yard getting on the swing set, my grandpa would go out there with us and spend the most time that he could with us when he had his time. And what he could have done was stayed inside and watched golf or maybe watched a Western. But no, he actually wanted to make the best use of his time with his grandchildren. And I'm thankful for that. And just like my grandpa spent intentional time with us, in the same way, we need to spend intentional time with unbelievers. That doesn't mean we need to partake in what they're doing. We don't need to possibly smoke what they're smoking or drink what they're drinking. But, no. But what we can do is we can show them an example of who Jesus is. Amen. Not by doing what they do, but by trying to show them what Christ would do. Not by just by showing them, but also living it out and explaining the good news in a clear and simple way. That they can know they are loved by Christ and that there's hope for them. I'm sure many of us in this room, we've lived lives where we were smoking what they were smoking, drinking what they were drinking. And not just that, it doesn't have to be drugs, doesn't have to be alcohol. Maybe it could be gambling, maybe it could be lusting, maybe it could be pride, maybe it could be whatever it is. We needed somebody to share with us the gospel, right?
Right.
I don't think you guys heard me. We needed somebody to share with us the gospel. And if we sit on the sidelines, we are not helping anybody. And not only that, more importantly, we are not pleasing the Lord if we're just sitting on the sidelines. I think the most important thing is not for us to win the approval of man, but to win the approval of God if we're living for Christ. And if we're trying to win the approval of God, we need to do His work. We don't need to be called to preach or be called to a ministry of some sort. If you're working for the city, that's a ministry. If you're working as a plumber, that's a ministry. I truly believe the workplace is meant for the gospel to be preached at. It doesn't have to be just at a church or right here. The workplace is a strong place to share the good news. And if we can share the good news at our workplace, man, it's going to give people hope. They may not respond quickly. They might not respond how we like. But at least we are trying to do the work of the Lord if we can share the gospel at our workplace. And that's the one place we can start, is at our workplace. Maybe it's at the workplace or maybe it's our home. But I do believe the workplace is a fertile ground for us to share the good news. And so we see, as we're living in wisdom, make the best use of time. Now, if we continue to read on, Let's look at verse 6. It says, let your speech always be what?
Gracious.
So this term gracious means God's grace. And God's grace is a gift that we do not deserve. So if we can let our speech always be what? What's the word?
Gracious.
Gracious. And we speak to outsiders with what? With graciousness? Man, it may be a gift that they do not deserve. But guys, who deserve God's grace in this room? None of us. And if we can let our speech always be gracious. And what's the second part? Seasoned with what? Seasoned with salt. And guys, salt, there's two things about salt. Salt is used to make tasteless things tasteful. And is used to protect things from becoming putrid. Tasteless things tasteful. And to protect things from becoming putrid. Putrid just means to decay or to rot. And actually, salt, before refrigeration, people used salt for the meat. They put it with saline solution and to try to protect the meat from rotting. And guys, if we can let our speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, how many of us can be sensitive in our conversations with outsiders? I know that can be not so much of an easy task, but being sensitive to the Spirit's leading, but also being sensitive to try to make the conversation not about you, but make the conversation about the fruit of the Spirit. Make the conversation about God and what God's done in your life. And if we can do that, that's adding salt. Adding salt to a conversation is letting the conversation be about God. Or if you may not use the word God, you can show it through your actions. And I'm sure you guys have heard this term or this quote, but it says, preach the gospel in all circumstances and use words if necessary, right? But guys, I will say that's an important quote, but it is also important to use words. Don't just neglect words. It's important to use words when you are preaching the gospel. But we can live out our lives as well. They both go hand in hand, to live out our life and also talk about it. To walk the walk and talk the talk. And if we can just do those things to be gracious, to add salt. And guys, remember, Jesus said we are the salt of the earth, right? In Matthew 5. And salt is important for us to remember. Salt, if you get anything to remember, salt is useful to make tasteless things tasteful and to protect things from becoming putrid. So, as we wrap up, we continue to read on in verse 6. It says this, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So it doesn't say do it with shamefulness and disrespect. It says do it with gentleness and respect. So as we go about our days and as we conclude, here are some questions that we can go over at your tables. The first one is this. What are some ways that we can make the best use of our time towards unbelievers in our lives? Whether that's at work, maybe that's in the neighborhood, maybe it's at the YMCA. The second one is, how can we let our conversations be seasoned with salt with unbelievers? And the last one is, if we pray and we get filled up by God first, how much of a difference do we believe that will make and how effective we are witnessing? Guys, I hope that, this is pretty short, but I hope that as we go about our day, this sharing the word is important, But guys, this is honestly just the appetizer. This is just the chips and salsa at Hacienda. But the talks at the table is the steak fajitas. Like, we want you guys to please be here for the talks. The talks are important. Gathering around believers, maybe gathering around somebody who may be here for the first time. And now we get to share with them about Jesus. They heard about the gospel. Now you guys can go more in depth about them with the gospel. But the conversations is where it's at. And let's please be intentional with these conversations as we go about our time at Huddle. I'll go ahead and pray for us, and I'll pray for our conversations as we go. Father God, thank you for Huddle and for this ministry and just for the Huddle board and their hearts. And God, we pray that as we go about our day today and our time as we talk, Lord, let our conversations just be focused on you. Not on us, not on anything that's selfish desires, Lord. Let our conversations just be solely focused on you, your Holy Spirit, and how you want us to move forward, and how we can become wise witnesses, and how we can be seasoned with salt, and let our speech always be gracious. God, let us be filled with your Spirit as we go, and help us to remember that your word rings true, and that if we seek your face, you will not disgrace anyone who will wait for you. Lord, help us to remember that your word is true, and that your Spirit is here and alive and active. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.